Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Things That Go Bump in the Night. This is JC Bratton coming to you from San Jose, California. I've just created a brand new series called Things That Go Bump in the Night Investigates, where I'll go through some various topics that interest me that I hope will also interest you. So in this series, I'm going to focus heavily on near-death experiences, which is a topic that I've covered quite a bit in a number of episodes. And what I want to do is break down various topics within sort of that universe of near-death experiences, of which tonight I'm going to focus heavily on the light. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
Go into the light.
No! No! You said no!
There is peace and serenity in the light.
You said don't go into the light!
Okay, go into the light. Don't go into the light. It was very confusing, right? Well, that was a clip from Poltergeist from 1982. And in that, what had happened was Carol Ann, who was the little girl, she was kind of being drawn into the light, which meant that it was be kind of the next plane of existence. But in essence, though, what was happening is that all those trapped souls, because I believe from what I remember, the house was built on top of a burial ground, and those souls were trying to get into the afterlife, and so they needed to go into the light. Whereas Carol Ann, being just a young girl who has kind of like her whole life ahead of her, was not ready to go into the light. So, but in any case, though, the light is a very interesting concept, and it's actually a major concept in the world of near-death experiences. And one of the probably the best explanations of what the light is comes from Dr. Kenneth Ring. So Dr. Kenneth Ring was an amazing researcher in near-death experiences. He's since retired, and he lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I have a number of his books, and very, very fascinating work that he's done. And he went on a show called Thinking Aloud, which is a talk show from Jeffrey Mishlove. Jeffrey Mishlove is a PhD from Berkeley. He has the first PhD in parapsychology. It's a great show. He's got a lot of interesting interviews, and he has it publicly available on YouTube. And so I found the clip from Kenneth Ring where he goes in and he describes in detail about the light, what it means for near-death experiencers, and what it actually means from an overall philosophical point of view. So if we just kind of table religion for a moment and just look at the complete philosophy of it, it's very fascinating. And it actually really solidifies what a lot of religious people feel, and I think or at least validates it. So sit back and let's take a listen to Dr. Ring's explanation.
People that I've talked with who have described themselves as skeptics, as agnostics, or as atheists often have difficulty using religious terms afterward, but they know what they've experienced. And the term, which is almost a code word in a certain sense, for this is the light. And they don't have any difficulty talking about the light, but they might have difficulty talking about God or obviously religious terms. But if you look at the way they describe the experience, and if you look at the kinds of changes they report in their life and their opening to spiritual worldviews, you can see that their previous skepticism or agnosticism or even atheism has been eroded to such an extent that it virtually dissolves, and they become very spiritually oriented people too.
And when we talk about the light, my impression is that we're describing an intelligence. It's yes. It's not just some sort of visual
yes,
sensation.
Absolutely.
It's as if one is there in the presence of a great, comforting, wise, intelligent, spiritual guides, for example, who help us to process.
There are so many things that are associated with this light, it's almost impossible even to give a verbal description of it that's in any way adequate. I think even the powers of a Dante, frankly, would be insufficient to be able to describe what's in this light. But yes, there is an incredible intelligence. There is an energy associated with this light. There is a feeling of love beyond this world, almost an absolute love. And that when people have the experience of the light, it isn't that they become aware of these dimensions. They become absorbed in them. And they understand that they are made of that light. You know, the light is not something that is other. It's that you merge with the light, and that energy and that intelligence and that love infuses itself into you. And that's why I think when people come back from this radiant experience, that they're almost like beings of light themselves. I mean, to the extent that they can remove, you know, kind of their ego dross, if I can put it that way. If they can remove that covering, then the light that they experience during their own near-death encounter shines through them. I think that's why they are so compassionate, so loving, and why they have this kind of knowledge, because the light is an energy and intelligence which can be absorbed in the near-death experience. Even if a person can't consciously understand what has happened to him or her, nevertheless, that absorption takes place and is somehow reflected in their daily conduct and in their consciousness when they come back from the experience.
You write about one near-death experiencer, I believe, who became a friend of yours, and he was very eloquent and articulate about the nature of the light, that the light itself was composed of, if I recall correctly, it's as if it was the higher self of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember this particular man, and he had a very unusual experience, because when he went into the light, he had a question, and he said, "What are you really? You know, what is this? What are you?" And he said that he was not just enabled to enter into the light, but he passed through the light. And when he could, as it were, look back on the light, he saw it was almost like a constellation of human souls, that it was everybody's higher self, as you were describing. And it, again, that had a tremendous effect on this particular individual. But his experience went deeper than most. And in one chapter, I know the one that you're referring to in Lessons from the Light, I present some cases like his of the deepest and the most complex near-death experiences that I've discovered in the course of my research. And in all of these, although I don't have many of them, as with this man, people go into and then through the light, and they seem to go almost as if on a journey through the universe, and they get to a second light. They get to something that seems to be the primordial light, or the light of creation, or the light of God. I don't even know what terms are adequate to describe it. This man was one of those who had something more like the full near-death experience, although obviously he never died, but he penetrated further than most people ever have an opportunity to do.
The sense that I have is that what these people are telling us is that my soul is linked to the soul of everyone else, that we are common, we share a soul in common, and that common soul that we all have links us to the absolute.
I think that's very well put, and I think what we have here in this world, we have a sense of division and separation. We are many bodies, but in the light, no pun intended, of the near-death experience, you realize there's only one being, and we are all connected to it. It's as if that primordial light that I was talking about that's where we really belong, that's where we really are. And so many people say, even when they enter into the experience of the light, "I was home." One man said, "This is where I always was and always will be. And my life on earth was just a brief instant." So it's like in this brief instant that we call life, of course, which seems to expand and seems to be the totality of it. I mean, that's maybe all that we are aware of. But when we have the near-death experience, we realize this life is just a flicker. And where we really are and where we truly have our being is in that primordial light. And there we are truly all one. We are truly all one anyway, but we have the realization that we are.
So I think when we look at the light, we have to look at it from like just table religion altogether. Let's just kind of put that aside. And let's look at the light as some sort of intelligence or entity or energy that is all loving, non-judgmental, that really sort of guides us into that next plane of existence. And as you heard from the clip, that there may even be a second light, or a light of God, or, you know, the light of creation, something that's even greater than maybe the light that you encounter in the beginning. But the fact of the matter is that it kind of goes back to kind of, you know, pretty much validate what a lot of people have talked about over the years, even within religion, that there is some sort of energy or entity that's all about unconditional love. If you think about the teachings of various prophets and Jesus, and et cetera, you know, just knowing that it's all really about unconditional love, not physical love. We're talking about just truly, deeply spiritual love and appreciation of all life, no matter who that person is, no matter who or what that person is, you know, just all kind of sentient beings, all kind of embracing each other in the end. So it's a very, very touching subject, very fascinating. And I will continue with this topic with some other portions, including what I think is going to be a very interesting topic, is the life review. So we will talk about the life review next. I'll go ahead and record that as a separate episode. But thank you for listening. Again, this is very much an introduction to the world of near-death experiences. And I think the light is a very interesting topic. Thank you very much.